It is Locked On Jazz for the 22nd of June. The favorite fan moments continue. Not a great weekend in Utah on the social front, particularly from our players' reaction. We'll talk about that. COVID exploding. The bubble scenario seems smarter. And the best free agents that are out there. It's all coming up on a Monday edition of Locked On Jazz. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hope you had a nice weekend. We got good weather, a lot of fun stuff to do, lots to talk about, some good, some unfortunate. We'll touch on all of it. I want to remind everyone, we are continuing with our really fun series about best moments to be a Jazz fan, or moments in which kind of your favorite moment to be a Jazz fan, those kind of things. Feel free to send those in to me at dlock09@gmail.com. We're going to go to Michael Sorensen. I'm only 18, he says, living in Virginia, and only started the Jazz because I was born in Utah. But ever since Donovan was drafted, I have been fully invested in anything and everything Jazz. I've been to two Jazz games in person, one in D.C. last season and one at MSG a week before Rudy tested positive. Both were easy wins for the Jazz, but they aren't the most memorable moments. My favorite Jazz moment had to be both of Bogey's buzzer beaters against the Bucks and the Rockets. I was watching both games live on TV, and both times was awestruck that some 31-year-old guy hit the two biggest shots of the Jazz season. I left out a bunch of adjectives that are probably not great. I've been thoroughly impressed with how Bojan has played this season. Can't wait for another 3 years of buzzer beaters. That's Michael Sorensen. He is in Virginia. You can send me yours. I got yours, Dustin Weinberger. I got yours today. I'll try to get that one out this week. But please feel free to continue to send me your notes, your comments, your greatest Jazz fan favorite, your fan favorite moments. Would appreciate that. Very much, because it's a fun way to start every show, reminds us of what we're in this for, why we enjoy it, all the things going on. Because today's some of our topics are heavy. This was not a great weekend when we have a bunch of fans posting things on Donovan Mitchell's Twitter and Instagram, and then when we have Donovan commenting on the Black Lives Matters George Floyd mural in Salt Lake being having black tar thrown on it. These are not good moments for us as a city, for us as a fan base, as how we're thought of across the country, or just in maybe the single most important thing on how we make those in our community feel, and whether or not people feel, you know, supported and welcomed in our community. Now, the easy answer is, well, that's just a minor few. That's true, but that's really what you're going to remember. I would agree. You know, I went and looked through all the comments, and most of the comments were supportive, but most isn't enough in this circumstance. You know, that's the unfortunate aspect of things, is that most is not enough. That unfortunately, we need all. We need a full, you can have different opinions, that's fine, but this is, some of these were different. It's interesting, though. I will say this on the Donovan Instagram reaction on Freeish, most of the comments were economic based, with the idea, well, if you're rich, you're free. Which is really a total lack of understanding of everything that's being said right now and talked about. But that, okay, so that's information and education. The other ones, I decided in support of Donovan, just to be totally transparent, that I would go through those comments and just block anyone who... It wasn't vile racism the way we think about it in this overt, terrible manner. It was just a complete lack of understanding of how black men and women in our culture feel, in our society feel, in Utah or across the country. That's, and what emotions and experiences that they're having. The other one that was interesting. So I did, I will admit, I went through and I just I blocked him. Like, that was my support of Donovan. I didn't have a great other answer. Tremendous amount. 80% of them were high school kids. High school kids. Which really gets to an interesting question about education, upbringing, information, use of social media. A lot of different things there. Of what, you know, what we can do to talk to have people understand. These are young, unworldly. I mean, I'm just saying that because of age. I have no idea how much they've traveled, but just like, right, like when you're 16, 17, 18, you haven't experienced a huge amount. You don't have a huge grasp on the world. So that we're making a lot of these comments to Donovan, you know, and you have more advanced, you know, like, yeah, you're not hearing what's going on. It's unfortunate though, because it clearly, you know, it became a national story. So it leaves a mark on how we're perceived. It happened. It's not a fake news. So it leaves an impact on the individuals that saw it, and it leaves an impact on those that are questioning whether they're welcome or not in the community. So that's, you know, that wasn't great. I don't have a great answer on it, but I think it's the most impactful news story of importance for Locked On Jazz of the weekend. The second one would be, you know, in Salt Lake City, there's a beautiful mural that was built for George Floyd, and somebody threw black tar on it. Like, are you kidding me? Seriously? I mean, at some point, this gets really freaking simple. On, like, you're either in or you're out on having people be treated equally. And you're in. I mean, and, you know, there are people that just fundamentally are truly overt racism. I mean, I think most of what we're dealing with is trying to get an understanding of plight and economics and struggle and things of that nature. And I would hope that most people are not completely overtly racist, but unfortunately, like, we can see it, right? Like, there's plenty of moments out there where this takes place, and there's the incredible story of what's going on with NASCAR. Like, that's about as overt as it gets. Black tar on a George Floyd mural is about as overt as it gets. It's pretty terrible. Again, like, the easy answer for all of us, I'm saying this as a member community. Like, I'm pained as a member of the community. Easy answer, well, that's only a small percentage. Okay, well, then the rest of us need to try to make sure that part of our community doesn't have a voice, or is that we're active rather than passive and brave rather than scared in trying to get that part of our community's voice quiet. Because we can't have that in a manner that makes people feel as though they're welcome in our community, right? There's not a minority that feels welcome in the community when suddenly that's what, when that kind of thing happens. So this was not great, right? Like, and these are not, we have to be honest about some things here. These are not new, like, injuries. These are scabs being pulled off scars that exist. Right? The Russell Westbrook, excuse me, the racist fan incident at Vivint Smart Home Arena really got the ire of players around the league and our players, and was a very, very serious situation inside that locker room. And lots of other issues bubbled up because of that. And Gale was amazing in talking to the players, and the players were given the freedom to have their voice. But that's not a wound that just, like, went away that day. And so when these things happen, they're not only new wounds, but they're picking the scars of old wounds. And it's a really big item for our community and how it's perceived. It is also a very large item on how our African-American black athletes feel about representing and playing in our state. That's a minor issue, but this is Locked On Jazz. The bigger issue is whether someone feels comfortable living in our community. That's the most important because everyone should at all times. But like, these are real issues. Okay. So, I mean, that's, you know, great. We'll move from that to COVID. That's where we are. Like, that's the world we're living in right now. These things are, none of these things are easy. So, you know, I want to, you know, but those are the issues. That was our weekend. That was our Jazz weekend. And if you didn't see Donovan on social media, or you didn't see George Niang on social media, if you don't think our players are all interacting and talking about this right now, like, trust me, they are. Today's show brought to you by Crown Ogden. Did you see? I put on Instagram the new Locked On shirts. So Matt Lund, who just is such a good dude, is the owner of Crown Ogden. He and his dad opened Crown Ogden together. Good. Hope they had a good Father's Day. Cool combo. The story is that Crown Trophy is a chain. It's the largest award franchise chain in America. They opened Crown Ogden in 2004. Matt's passion for it is just awesome. And now, actually, he got me. Like, his passion is so great that what they are now going to become is kind of the, is like our awards dealer for like Locked On. Like, this is actually all happened post our advertising deal because he's just got such amazing passion. So they do everything. They do awards and recognition business. They do rubber stamps, sand carvings, blasting, glassware, barware. They specialize in lasers. They got an amazing setup. So what Matt's done is basically taking this huge award franchise and then just extrapolated it out into bigger and bigger things. So amazing work with lasers, engraving for machine parts, medical devices, aerospace items, traceable and markings of guns, pocket knives, tumblers, Yeti mugs, engraving. They're going to do hats. They're going to do T-shirts. They're going to do mugs for Locked On. And then the T-shirts, they're using a screen printing through heat transfer process, faster and less expensive, high quality. He also built me a really cool Locked On kind of sign in the back. Check it out. Give Crown Ogden on Facebook or call Matt at 801-621-2055. He's got a special deal going right now for you. Here's how it works. Send him your logo. As a Locked On person, you will get a bypass of the kind of setup fee, and he will build you and show you what he can do to be able to get your logo to pop. It's really pretty cool. So give Matt a call at Crown or go to Facebook for Crown Ogden. And you'll see the great work that he does. Matt's number is 801-621-2055. That's 801-621-2055. Growing up, cereal is one of the best parts of any kid's life. But a lot of it's sugar-laden junk that you shouldn't really eat. So if you're like me and getting older and you're trying to cut down on carbs and sugar and unhealthy food, then the answer is Magic Spoon. Zero sugar, 12 grams of protein, only 3 net grams of carbs in each serving. 4 flavors, cocoa, fruity, frosted, blueberry. Tastes amazing. Too good to be true. And keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, GMO-free. 4 flavors that are absolutely fabulous. Cocoa, fruity, frosted, and blueberry. Go to magicspoon.com/NBA, grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use the promo code NBA at checkout to get free shipping. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. That's magicspoon.com/NBA. Use the code NBA for free shipping. We thank Magic Spoon for sponsoring this podcast, and we thank Magic Spoon for bringing cereal that's healthy back into our lives. Well, COVID is not making sports relaunch easy. NFL players told to stop practicing together. Yankees and Philly players testing positive. Lightning closing their facilities. 21 players at Clemson. 30 players at UCLA. Numerous Alabama players all testing positive. It suddenly makes the bubble that we heard about last week with the NBA seems smarter and more intelligent than ever before. It is why every epidemiologist is such a fan of what the NBA has built. You know, what's interesting is while Orlando is exploding with cases right now, and Florida is having, you know, learning a little lesson, if we completely ignore COVID and pretend it doesn't exist, hey, what will happen? Uh-oh, shoot, this is not what we expected. That's clear that that's, you know, what's taking place in Florida. But here's the positive of what the NBA has built. The NBA, one, they're not flying commercially. They're not coming in through Orlando. They're testing the bus drivers, it sounds. So the risk of getting into the bubble is literally getting off the plane onto a bus and a bus that drives you into the into Disney World. Then everyone's being tested and waiting 36 hours before they go into basically getting their test results. So immediately, if someone's tests positive at that point, you can act on it. And you're this is where some of this is done so well. You're arriving like July 5th to July 7th. You're not playing till the 31st. So anybody who tests positive upon arrival will still be able to play by July 31st. I mean, this is so well thought out on so many levels by the NBA. The next ain't part of this that I think it gets interesting is the risk that Orlando brings is the Disney workers in the area. So there's a few thoughts to this. One is this is where we get into how the read the various reports on how the virus is transferred. Is the virus transferred by contacts? Is it transferred just in the air? Is it transferred by extended periods of time inside social distancing? The contact between the players and the members of the Disney staff, I think, are going to be few and far between. I think if we really get... And so the model here is that that transmission seems unlikely. That type of transmission seems unlikely because if, in fact, the most common type of transmission is that you're within 6 feet for an extended period of time, the amount of time that a NBA player is going to be within 6 feet of a Disney worker for an extended period of time is limited. But the other aspect of this, frankly, is it would look terrible for Disney if, in fact, they tested, a bunch of workers came in and tested everyone positive, right? So when the NBA players arrive and the NBA players test, and let's say four of them test positive and everybody else is clean, that would be great. That would probably be a good, like, that would be, I think the NBA would deem that a success. And now all of a sudden, any case that happens until the second round when outside people are brought in pretty much has to be brought in by a Disney employee who's working on site or a player busting out of the bubble. The Disney worker on site, Disney's a pretty smart brand. They don't want it known that their workers infected a bunch of people. That's going to hurt Disneyland and Disney World and all of their other properties. So they're going to be really, really cautious of that. That is certainly going to be something that they keep an eye on at a pretty darn high level to make sure it doesn't happen, right? That's on Disney. Disney doesn't want that. So as much as Yankees and Phillies shutting down, Lightning closing their facility, 21 players at Clemson, 30 at LSU, numerous at Alabama, NFL players not practicing together. I actually look at this as after having seen what the NBA has done and feel as though the NBA is still pushing forward quite nicely. Now, Wednesday's a big day on which players decide they don't have, they might have a medical reason that they don't want to go in the bubble or they don't want to do this. But generally, the aspect of this now is, hey, I actually think that what's been built, the detail level, looks better and I think gets more buy-in from everyone. Right? Because the surrounding areas are not going the way they're supposed to. So we'll see. But to me, all of the bad news. One of the big things I thought was the burden is whether players are like, do I really have to do this? Do I really want, come on, are we really doing all this? And as everything else is exploding around them, and Florida is, and particularly the bubble aspects look smarter and better and more intelligent and more well thought out and more organized and more care for the players. And those items, I think, yield the players to feel more engaged and connected to what's taking place. We'll see. A cool little feature coming from Axios that I'll share with you. 10 free agents that John Hollinger mentioned. Are there any of them that are interesting to the Utah Jazz as well? And then one non-basketball note that I think is of interest out of UCLA, that just in a sports standpoint. Those are all continuing as we roll through on Locked On Jazz. Today's show brought to you by Murdoch Chevy. That Silverado truck, I got to figure out how I'm going to get back to a Silverado truck. That was one of the coolest experiences I've had since I've done this with the Murdochs. The Murdochs let me take their cars and drive them for a while so I can share with you what they're like. And I'm not a guy who drives a bunch of trucks and haven't ever had a truck. I drove both the Silverado and the Colorado, and I loved them for different reasons. The Colorado truck, smaller, easier to maneuver, more, I would almost say, like has a level of convenience to it. You feel like you should just, like, there's so many things you can do by having that truck. You feel like you should just get one, like, because you like, oh, well, this is a useful item. The Silverado was like living at the top of the castle in the most comfortable lazy boy chair while powering through the mountains and on the road and just feeling a step above everyone and just being kind of just having it be totally awesome. Like, the Colorado doesn't have that same, like, insane juice that the Silverado truck, or the size or the power. It had the convenience and the great part of having a truck and all of those things. But man, that Silverado, wow. And right now it's 0%, 72 months on that Silverado right now for you. That's right. 0%, 72 months for that Silverado, or a $5,500 cash allowance on all 2020 Silverado trucks right now. The SUV lineup is great. The Traverse, as well as the Equinox, the Blazer I drove. I got a ton of compliments on the Blazer the whole time that I was driving it. People were asking about that. By the way, the 2020 Chevy Silverado, a $3,000 cash allowance on that one. It's all at Murdoch Chevy. Stop by in Woods Cross, also in Logan. Do the same thing. Feel free to email me at dlock09@gmail.com. dlock09@gmail.com if you're heading over there, and we'll set up a VIP meeting for you. There's a bunch of great books that are out there, and you don't always have enough time to read all of them. Some of them, quite honestly, I don't really want to read all about Albert Einstein in a Walter Isaacson biography, but Blinkist gives it to me in 15 minutes. Blinkist is a unique way to get your knowledge and information. Thousands of nonfiction books condensed down to just 15 minutes to read or listen. Successful people, business leaders, they like, you learn, right? Well, Blinkist has made it easy for busy people who want the main points of a book quickly, so you can start using the information right away. Blinkist comes on your computer, on your tablet, on your web browser. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now, and I find it a great way to grab books that I frankly want to know about, but I'm probably not going to have enough time to read or going to dive into. I've got enough other things I'm reading, and so sometimes there's the book, and Blinkist is the answer for me. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA. Try it for free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, BLINKIST.com/NBA to start your 7-day free trial. And you'll save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA. Blinkist.com/NBA. Hope you enjoy it. And let me know what blinks you pick up along the way. Axios is doing a fun feature. They did it for baseball. I wish we could have talked about it because I'm such an old school baseball fan. They're ranking the all-time NBA rosters and then putting together the best team that anyone's ever had. They started with, and then they rank them. So it's an interesting question to ask yourself right now. Like, actually, this would be fun. We should do this. 30 NBA rosters, if you put together the best teams of all time, I'm assuming the Celtics will be the best and the Lakers will be the second best. 76ers might be the third best. Warriors will have Wilt Chamberlain, Steph Curry, so there might be fourth. Like, trying to guess before this happens. So if anybody wants to send me their top 10 at dlock09@gmail.com of what they think, and then where will the Jazz fit on the ranking of all-time rosters? I'm assuming our all-time team is going to be Stockton, Donovan. Who's our best three of all time? Karolinko, Mailman, Rudy Gobert, right? Am I missing? Someone's going to disagree with me on something? Is that right? Adrian Dantley might fly in there somewhere. But at the three, if you're going to play AD at the three, you could get there. So you go with Stockton, Donovan, AD, Carl, and Gobert. Probably better than AK. They do it often by win shares, figuring it all out. Where will we rank? Do you think we'll make the top 15 rosters in the NBA? Two Hall of Famers out of our five gets pretty good. I think our bench will be less good. I don't know that we make top 15, do we? We've won a lot of basketball games in our time. I'll have to play with this. I hadn't really thought about it from this angle until we just started talking about it right now. So I'll be curious. If anybody wants to send me what they guess their top 10 is, I'll keep them. We can see who gets it right. And then included in that guess where you think the Jazz are. The Spurs, if you're including, the Spurs are going to be good, right? Because the Spurs are going to have Tim Duncan, David Robinson, George Gervin, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, Sean Elliott. I think that'll be ahead of us. It'll be interesting to watch this, how it comes out. Like Denver's all-time team. I haven't thought about these before until absolutely right this very second. So Memphis came out today. It's not surprising. It's Mike Conley, Tony Allen, Sharif Abdur-Rahim, Zach Randolph, and Marc Gasol. Pau Gasol, Rudy Gay, Jason Williams, OJ Mayo, Shane Battier, Mike Miller, and Bryant Reeves. They rank last. So of all-time players in the history of the league, the Memphis Grizzlies come in last of all rosters. I mean, when Bryant Reeves and Mike Miller are making your all-time franchise, and Jason Williams probably are making your all-time franchise team, it's not a great sign. Yeah, I would guess at this point, I would guess that we are Stockton, Mitchell, AD, Malone, Gobert, and our sixth man becomes either Hornacek or Karolinko, depending on how they look at it. Boozer and Darren, pretty good roster by the time we're done there. Maybe our sixth man becomes Darren. But it's going to be fun. Axios is doing it. We'll touch on it every day. But again, email me if you come up with I'll put mine together. I'll have it for you tomorrow. I'll have my top 10, rosters that I can come up with for you. By the way, China Basketball Association, the Chinese Basketball Association resumed play this weekend. So they had a 5-month shutdown. No fans in the stands. It looked like they had like teddy bears and things like that in the stands. But they did start play this weekend. So we'll see. They had some false starts along the way. They tried to get it going and there's a few less foreign players there than there were in the past. Free agents that are available right now in the NBA. DeMarcus Cousins is probably the biggest name. Gerald Green, the kind of often shooting, three-point shooting bomber was with the Houston Rockets. Trey Burke, Amon Shumpert, CJ Miles. One name that I'm interested in is Tyler Johnson. Tyler Johnson has gotten less good and less good as time's gone on, and so maybe there's a reason and I should get off this one. But Tyler Johnson had some characteristics early in his career that made me really believe in him. 6'3", And if you kind of look, he's a career 36% three-point shooter. So this year in Phoenix, he was awful. He shot 29% in 31 games. And the year before, he shot 32%. So in Phoenix. So that's his 44-game stretch in Phoenix was not good. If you go back to his Miami era, it's as though he got caught in between, two different players. So early in his career, his 22 and 23-year-old years, he took 30% of his shots in his first 2 years at the rim. It's an incredibly high number for a 6'3" guard. I mean, trying to put that in perspective, if we look at Donovan, who's a 6'1" guard and a world-class athlete, Tyler Johnson is too, by the way. Donovan is taking, someone is taking shots at the rim. Donovan took 26% of his shots at the rim his rookie year, 22 his second year, and 17% this year. Tyler Johnson in his opening 2 years in the league was at 30% and then 26%. And then maybe, I don't know what happened. Maybe he decided I'm going to get beat up and I can't keep going to the rim at that rate. But he then went from, at that time period, he was also shooting like 30% of his shots as threes. And then it's as though someone said, well, you got to shoot more threes. And he started shooting 46 and 49 and 50% of all of his shots as threes. And he stopped going to the rim. He stayed exact same round of kind of mid-range shots. He stopped. They're inside. He also is a pretty decent rim finisher. Like he's 62. In those opening years, he was like 60%, which is like right around the level of Donovan. Like, I'm not saying he's Donovan. I'm just trying to give you a perspective of it. And he still maintained himself as a very, very good rim finisher. So at different points in Tyler Johnson's career, he's like been heavy on the rim and a huge high volume 3-point shooter at a pretty decent percent. 36% is not like great, but it's not bad. Like, we'll take it. Sure, in the last 44 games in Phoenix, something was wrong. He was at 30%. You'd have to figure out what that was and why. And maybe there's an injury, because when you look at him, I'd have to find out what happened, and you'd have to know his medical history. If you look early in his career, in his second, in his third year, he has 35 dunks. His fourth year, he has 21 dunks. And since then, he's had 5 and didn't have a single dunk this year. Like that, ooh. So rim chances are going down. Dunks are going down. Like those are to me like, uh-oh. Like that's a disconcerting trend on a player. Now he's pretty little. And so at 6'3", you're not totally expecting it. He wasn't a player early in his career that had to have shots created for him. Like his assist rate so really what I'm talking about is from 22 to 25 in Miami, he had all sorts of trends of a player that I really liked. Low percentage assist rate on twos, which meant he could create his own shot. He was like 44, 45%. Now, not brilliant, like using like a real shot creator like Donovan's at 25%, but he's not completely dependent on that. He got to the rim a lot. His free throw rate per 100 possessions was at the peak was at like 5 and 6 free throws per 100 possessions. Again, just like using Donovan, Donovan is at 6 to 7. Like he's not that, but he's a good player. And then something went wrong. He got traded out of Miami in 18-19 to go to Phoenix. And he signed that big contract. You know, he got a massive, massive contract at $19 million. Part of the Brooklyn matching offer and all these other things. And then it just, like, I don't know what happened. So he was waived on February 10th. And he's out there. Like, he's the one player that's of a little interest to me. So, we'll see. All right, that is Locked On Jazz. I'll get to the UCLA story tomorrow. We got time. We got all week. Thanks very much for tuning in. Locked On NBA, Josh Lloyd, biggest stories, local experts. Every Monday on Locked On NBA, so make sure you tell your smart device to play podcasts. Locked On NBA.